and welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast. Our topic is preparing your online visual web biography. And, you know, either you're well advanced in how to use social media in your job search, or you're the type like me who likes to use the email and surf websites for information and really haven't gotten your arms around these wonderful, wonderful social media tools. In either case, I know you're going to gain valuable information from today's broadcast from one who is a practicing expert in helping job hunters maximize their social media tools. And my special guest and social media knowledgeable expert is none other than Linda Baugh out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors. She's featured on her website, and you can see her picture and bio. Just click preferred counselors on our toolbar. Hello there, Linda in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hello, John. Good afternoon. Glad to be with you.
Yes, and today you get to be an expert. How's that?
I love it. Thank you.
Linda's been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1985. She is president and founder of ACE Executive Careers, based out of Scottsdale. And Linda began her profession as a headhunter, and there she learned how to help people get hired. And from there, she expanded her expertise to include helping clients at mid-career find their occupational sweet spot. Linda has published numerous articles, is a sought-after speaker, and I might add that she is a expert in this topic. She is selected by some prestigious organizations to speak on social media in job hunting. Now today, for the first 30 minutes, Linda and I will talk about our topic, how to prepare your online web bio information to maximize your job search, and then we'll take a short break and begin answering job hunting questions which we receive during the show and prior to it. So Linda, let's get going on talking about how to get our online presence focused and cleaned up to help us land that special job. And I need to say, as we just get started, the reason we picked this topic is because there are organizations out there that try to entice that job hunter that is desperately trying to get employment in these tough times by selling this secret sauce that if you don't have this incredible web site with all the bells and whistles, you're going to miss out on the great jobs. And Linda, you and I are frowning at that, and we're not encouraging our listeners to go there. Is that right?
That would be true, John. That would be true. And I've seen in some, you know, advertisements or some enticements to have a website to enhance your job search. You know, and the price tag is, you know, $750 up to $2,000 or $3,000. And of course, the advice that we want to give to the job seeker is, if there's a return on investment for something, then we want them to do it in terms of helping them with their job search. But if there's not really, then we want to gear them to the other areas. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Absolutely, yes. And as we prepared for the show, I really like the terms you introduced, and that is the difference between being a passive job hunter and an active job hunter. A passive job hunter waits for the phone to ring and is enticed by these clever gimmicks that will make him or her so attractive that headhunters and employers are just beating the door down to get in. And that is a myth. That only occurs in situations where a person has an incredible type of expertise that is very, very rare and sought after. And then on those very few occasions Individuals that are needing that unique expertise will beat your door down. And frankly, you don't need all that polished, glitzy media presence. You just need to have your name out there with your PhD and this expert knowledge you have. But for the majority of us, we really need to be savvy on how an employer views us through media. And Linda, you really gave me a wake-up call when we were talking about this topic, because according to your experience, even the smaller business owners are going to the web to check up on candidates in terms of how they are represented on the web, whether they like it or not, all the stuff that they do on the web and what is said about them and so on and so on, the small business owner is going there. So without delaying here, go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right, because if someone is looking to hire someone, whether they're a small business owner or they are a major corporation, they are going to go to Google. And we are all going to be Googled. And what's important for our job seekers to know is, A, where the employers are looking to find them online, and secondly, what the job seeker can do actively with the social media sites to enhance their ability to get hired. And John, if you don't mind, I'll just jump right in if that's all right with you.
Yeah, I definitely want you to jump in, Linda, but I just want one final clarification or disclaimer. Mm-hmm. You and I agree that even by paying attention to these important social media resources, we are strongly encouraging the job seeker to be proactive in the job search, not to take care of all their social media issues and then sit back and wait for the phone to ring. We want them to do that, and maybe they can do that after 5 o'clock, after the business day is over, but during the day they need to be very, very actively networking, meeting employers, talking to them face to face. That's where the real job search ought to be taking place. So let us jump in, and you have given me a list, Linda, of these different social media sources, and the first one that you want to talk about is LinkedIn, so take it and run with it.
Okay, great. Well, there's several aspects of why LinkedIn is of value to a job seeker. The first one is visibility and credibility. They can have a wonderful-looking profile, and it is true, 93% of companies hiring are going to LinkedIn to find candidates. And as a former recruiter, I can share that every one of my recruiter friends says, oh, LinkedIn is the first place that I go to look for a candidate. But we don't want to just be a pretty picture sitting there waiting. With LinkedIn, one can, let's just say, put together a list of companies that they're interested in and can research on LinkedIn if they know anyone in any of those companies. And since our other statistic, I think you and I agree upon, is that at least 70% of hiring is the result of networking, getting referred, or knowing someone. You've got the best of both worlds here. You can be you can be seen, and then you can actively network your way into the companies you're interested in.
Okay, just for the sake of the listener, Linda, because there was a time way back in the not-too-distant past that I was one of those ignoramuses that didn't know the value of LinkedIn. It sort of crept up on me when I wasn't looking. Help us understand the incredible benefit of finding out that someone we went to high school with actually is working for that company that we want to get into. Tell us about that.
Well, here's just a really simple example. And even if we want to start with some of the, and there are jobs posted on LinkedIn, even though it's not a job site, but many of the people that I know, they do see an opportunity posted on LinkedIn, But what they do then is research on LinkedIn. Hey, do I know anybody at that company? And they find, just like you said, someone they went to high school with, college, somebody who's in their Rotary Club, somebody that they worked with 10 years ago, and they can then contact that person on LinkedIn and say, hey, I'm interested in such and such company. Looks like, you know, that's where you're working now. I'd really like to be able to network my way into the purchasing department, you know, or the finance department. Would you mind helping me and introducing me to people?
There you
and
go.
And that's
yeah.
exactly how they're
so
getting in.
With. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, so what you're saying, Linda, regarding LinkedIn, and this almost goes without saying, that we do need to make sure we have an account and that that information about us is very current and that we do need just a plan to spend the time doing it. It's almost like you buy a new electrical appliance, and you don't bother to read the instructions. You just jump right in and start trying to use it, and then you go, oh, this isn't working. Now I have to go back and read the instructions. Well, here we are. We have to go back and read the instructions mm-hmm. on LinkedIn to make sure that we have it. And tell us why the picture is important. And,
well, this
and
is
what...
pretty interesting. Yes, it's pretty interesting. You can put a photo on LinkedIn, and what we recommend is a professional-looking headshot looking into the camera with a little smile, and here's why it's important. Let's just say a recruiter or a company is searching for a project manager, and a whole list of project managers comes up. Research has shown that if you have a photo, profiles with photos are 7 times more likely to be viewed.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty compelling.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And you and I agree that a serious job seeker has to take the time and the money to get a good professional photo. And it's only a headshot, but we may see a little bit of your neck and your collar.
Like a suit coat, you know, the suit coat, the and the collar of the shirt. So a headshot can be just a little bit to the shoulder. You're right.
Yeah, and that has to be contemporary, and it does need to look like you're employed in the position that you're seeking, not something
right.
that you took when you were with your fishing buddies or
right, not the backyard
know.
Barbecue.
That's right, exactly. Even though you love that picture, it is suggesting an image. Okay, anything more on LinkedIn that we need to know about?
Well, I would give this advice to people so they don't get intimidated. We will talk about other social media. If you don't want to do the other social media beyond LinkedIn, that's okay. If you do nothing else in your job search, you have got to be on LinkedIn because the companies are checking you out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I would even go one step further now that you've given me that wake-up call. Individuals that are using LinkedIn for their own personal professional growth and development are familiar with it so that when there's time where they need to hire, they're just going to reverse the process and say, well, if I put all this time and so on into it, I'm looking for someone who's just as serious and professional who's going to do the same.
And, you know, that's a good point. I think we need to remind everybody that LinkedIn is not a job site. It's not like Indeed or Monster or Jobbing or anything like that. Most of the people on LinkedIn are simply working.
Okay, John, we have a short 2-minute break. Today we've been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give meaning and purpose to their life.
So, John, what about boomers, those who are approaching retirement age? There are a lot of us out there.
That's right, Evan. Many millions. We provide very specific help to boomers and their families.
You mean that the choice what to do after retirement is just as important as selecting one's career at 20 years of age?
Well, Evan, think on this. Let's say you've been grinding it out, just waiting for that 25-year gold pin. and now that's where you are. Does that mean your life of significance and purpose ends? You've heard that the new 65 is the old 45. A person still has 10, 15, maybe 20 more productive years ahead of them.
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Well, we help adults, many adults, find that ideal post-retirement career. For once, they don't have to be trapped into their occupation. They can be free to choose to give it back to make a difference.
But John, why couldn't a mid-30s person choose to do that?
Well, they most certainly can, and I hope they will. But some of us have been so close to the grindstone of work that we have never considered looking into the future of making a difference or giving back.
Okay, John. I want to discuss this further, that is, considering a purpose for what we do beyond a paycheck and benefits. Can we talk some more about this during the next break?
Sure, you bet.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
And we're right back here with our Job Seeker broadcast, and my special guest today is Counselor Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. Now, Linda, you've given us this rich information, and I would even say you've really persuaded, at least I'm persuaded, to become a knowledgeable, how would you say, expert in terms of LinkedIn, to know how it works and to know how it can help you. Let's go to the next social media, and that's Facebook. You've got some good and not so good things to say about Facebook.
Well, the starting point is if people started like I did, my Facebook is mostly about family and friends and my niece's wedding reception and things that aren't really pertinent to an employer or in a job search. But the reality is that most companies do have Facebook pages. So if you're on Facebook, you could look at companies of interest to you and even see some of their job postings. And Facebook, companies on Facebook, the statistic that we have is 66% of companies use Facebook to find candidates, but primarily, I want to be really clear about this, administrative staff and to fill entry-level positions. So
now
that's
why,
some, go ahead.
Why would they go to Facebook where, as you and I agree, this is family, friends, barbecues, and vacation trips. Why would they go there to learn about a candidate?
Well, some candidates or some people do make their Facebook page a little more about their professional life, and that certainly is an option. But then again, keep in mind that the companies are posting on their own Facebook page because they're thinking that people on Facebook will then look at them and look at their opportunities. One of the suggestions that we give to people is if you don't want to be visible to the whole world on Facebook, keep your privacy settings really tight, but then put a message out if you're in a career transition to your friends and family on Facebook and say, hey, guys, we go back to the networking, John. Hey, guys, I'm in a job search, and I'm interested in getting connected with any insurance companies in the greater Portland area, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
They could still use it for networking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that message can be sent more than once. If a person
mm-hmm.
doesn't get responses the first time, don't give up. You can wait a
right.
few weeks and send that again. Now, Linda, are you suggesting here that person can, shape their Facebook to talk more about their professional credentials and accomplishments? How would they do that?
What would be sort of
a natural thing that they might do there?
Well, one of the things is to put that the more professional-looking photo on there, and maybe even have a separate Facebook page that has to do with, you know, with their professional image. They could they could do that.
But I mean, if they're communicating with their Facebook audience, you know, people aren't going to be interested. It'd be a little embarrassing for me to say, "Well, I just published this book." What would they be saying on Facebook that wouldn't be a little too ostentatious or self-serving and embarrass the individual?
Well, if they want to use their Facebook as part of their job search, as a tool where they are visible, one of the great things you can do on Facebook is you can go out and find an interesting article on some area of expertise that you have, and that's what you post on your Facebook page.
Okay. So find an interesting news fact or something that was published in your professional association or some book that's come out, and write something about it. And you're in a sense just sending that out to your audience, but really any employer that just might happen to choose to go to Facebook for you is going to pick that up, and that's a plus.
And you can do the same thing by finding good articles about your industry, your profession, what's going on in the marketplace, or maybe thought leaders like Steve Jobs. And you could post it on Facebook. You can also post it on LinkedIn. You can also send it out as a tweet if you have Twitter.
Yeah, well, that leads us to the next one, which is Twitter. And I do recall you mentioning this very intriguing way on how to, in a sense, send out a message to get people to realize that you know a few things about a topic. So tell us about how to use Twitter in our job search.
Well, thank you so much, John. What we can do on Twitter, again, we use, it's just like marketing, we use repetition and consistency. So you would post your same photo. You would use the same headline as far as your expertise that you use on LinkedIn. You have
how long should that headline be?
Maybe 4 words.
Okay.
Senior human resource leader would be an example.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have up to 140 characters on LinkedIn, so you could add in a few key words about your area of expertise.
Okay, 15 years of experience in da-da-da and so on, yes. Okay.
Yeah, you could certainly do that. And then something I never admitted to you before, but I will now, John. I am a lazy Twitterer because the primary thing I do is I find a really good article in my area of expertise. Maybe it's on negotiating, interviewing, who's hiring, and that's what I tweet. And I just put a pithy little comment, and people think I'm brilliant because I know, boy, she really knows what's going on. But I'm not writing any of it. I just find good stuff.
I see. Well, it does communicate that you're a person who keeps up with things that are going on. And in a way, it doesn't make you come off like you're bragging about yourself, because these are things that you have found that you're passing on to others. I did that just today. I found a very intriguing communication, and I just passed it on. In this case, I passed it on to some individuals that I thought really could use the information, but yeah, that's what I was doing.
Well, the other side of Twitter is almost every company you can think of has an official Twitter. I'll take Wells Fargo Bank just as an example. You could follow Wells Fargo if you're interested in that bank, and you would be up on what's the latest going on with Wells Fargo. And they also have a specific jobs Twitter. So you could get jobs coming into your Twitter inbox, if you will, mm-hmm. every day. And you don't have, by the way, I need to mention, you can get LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter all free. This is not costing
right.
anything.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. Okay, so you have advised us regarding using LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. But then we've got a couple more. Let's go to blogging. What does that do in terms of help our job search?
Well, it's very interesting. The social media experts, and you complimented me, but boy, I'm nowhere near some of these experts, John. What they teach people often is, boy, if a recruiter or an employer or anyone Googles you, what are they going to see? And if you create a blog specifically to talk about your area of expertise, and one gentleman that I know who was in job search last year created a blog. He used the same photo that he used for LinkedIn, and then he wrote just really short little articles, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs on his area of expertise, which was multi-unit retail operations. Just really short little articles.
Mm-hmm.
So that just creates a little more visibility and credibility. Now, something else that you can do with it with blogging is you can find bloggers in your industry, high-profile bloggers in your industry. You can read their blog, and quite often you can make a comment.
Yeah, right.
So you don't even have to have the blog. You can just be seen as, oh, a very intelligent comment that you made about your industry, whether it's, you know, the landscape business or it's real estate or it's retail.
Now, Linda, the advantage of communicating articles and things that I have read and passing it on to others, it sounds like we got three different ways to do that. We can do it Facebook, Twitter, blogging. Do we do all three, just one, what?
LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
So let's differentiate. Pretty much LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter were resending or we're posting an article someone else wrote. In a blog, you really want to be writing your own stuff.
Original stuff. Good.
Okay. So that takes a little more work, but it could be very short.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly we're going to quote. We may have a little insert of something we borrowed somewhere. But very, very good clarification on that. And we can let our Facebook and Twitter folks, as well as LinkedIn, know that we do have a blog and drive people to that,
exactly.
Which would also help the situation. Okay, we go to our last, and that is YouTube, and I'm scratching my head. Linda, what is this, trying to, you know, be a sort of a stand-up actor, actress, you know, to get on the internet here?
Yeah, well, we have two things that people could use YouTube for. And remember at the very beginning we said, we're just showing you these other social media. LinkedIn is the only one that is like a non-negotiable. You've got to be on there. But here's what we can use YouTube for. Every company, like, again, Wells Fargo or General Electric, they have official videos. And you could subscribe to get and see the videos on a company you're interested in.
Sure,
and of course,
I've seen those, yeah.
And, of course, today with all the analytics, they know and they see who's watching them.
We need to take a break, Linda. We'll be back.
We're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about pursuing a post-retirement career to give back, to give meaning and purpose. John, in our last break, you suggested that the idea of a career being something bigger than a paycheck is a worthy thought for a boomer, but also for a 30-something career seeker.
That's right, Evan. We can truly choose a post-retirement career as well as an occupation which provides sufficient income, stability, vacation perks, and still make a difference. And that's because our team has a working knowledge of over 90,000 careers and many of those fit that description.
Well, John, why wouldn't everyone want meaning and purpose?
Well, unfortunately, many of us have not considered that final layer of preference for our retirement or our present work life. We kind of get caught up in the trap of staying employed and reading all the How to Succeed, Move Up the Ladder books and blogs. Many of those helps are valid, but they may not be the best for everyone.
Well, John, for the next break, could you give us some examples of the difference between grinding out a job and finding a career which provides meaning and purpose, even for someone like a boomer?
Sure, let's do it.
Thanks, John. If you just turned in, our Job Seeker weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDEC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
And we're back finishing off our discussion on how to prepare and polish your online presence to get that special job that you've always wanted. Everyone else is going to be doing it, and you need to be ahead of the pack. For our listeners, we have an expert that understands and coaches people in how to use social media, and that's none other than Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website, and you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website, and you can stand amazed at the many, many years where she has excelled as a professional. Now, Linda, you've helped us understand these different media sources. Let's just go back to the YouTube and make sure that we've got the whole story on that.
Yes, there's one piece missing, and that is, I know you were thinking, my goodness, what are we going to do with YouTube? But here's just a nice example, John. There was a woman that I was talking with about the various social media, and on YouTube, one could post a brief video of them doing what they do. As a for instance, there's a woman I know who's a speaker and a trainer, so put a little spot on YouTube of her actually doing her stand-up training. And the other woman I was working with said, oh my gosh, I gave a presentation at my professional association meeting a few months ago, and they videoed it. So she got a hold of the video they had of her doing her speaking and presenting at her professional group, and she posted that.
Yeah, now, I recall you saying that this thing needs to be condensed down to a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. These little spots are like, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Something like that.
Max.
It's just like a little glimpse, so
yeah,
that someone could get an idea that you know what you're talking about.
Okay, now just to be clear, Linda, mm-hmm. I'm almost certain I know your answer. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask this question. What you and I are not advocating is somebody to get their camcorder out there and record themselves giving a little talk, as in a my name is, and I was born in Baton Rouge, and on and on and on.
No,
type of thing.
Yeah, we don't want this. Don't do a video of yourself and say, well, I'm going to post this out there so that people can hear me talking just like I would in an interview. No,
yeah.
That's
right.
Not our purpose.
So if a person is inclined or has as part of their job any kind of public address,
mm-hmm.
It would be very, very beneficial for them to try to capture mm-hmm. some of that and condense it down. And by the way, I do a fair amount of this. You do need, in most cases, you need professional help how to take a 30-minute talk and cut that thing down to 3 minutes.
Right.
There are people that do this, and you want to find somebody who does it for a living and then ask them as a sort of a brother-in-law discount type of thing, can you moonlight and just help me out here? But if you're paying the going rate, it could get pretty spendy because that could be easily a three-hour project for somebody.
Right.
They're not going to be charging you $10 an hour if they're
right.
doing it as part of their day job. Good. Okay, Linda, any other final comments on using the tools of social media to enhance one's job search?
Yes. Thank you, John. Just like marketing a product, one needs to be consistent in the words that you use to describe yourself, consistent in the image, the photo that you use. And it's not about saying, hey, I'm looking for a job. It is more highlighting what it is you're good at so you are attractive mm-hmm. that way.
Yes. I like to use the words achievements and accomplishments
mm-hmm.
rather than I got 15 years experience.
Exactly.
And that just takes us back to the resume. The thing that makes one's resume really stand up is when you can give the percentages of time saved or market share increase, number of people supervised.
And those are perfect
dollars.
Points to put in a LinkedIn summary and experience. Results and accomplishments, specific, just bullet points, results and accomplishments. Great thing to put in your LinkedIn profile.
Well, Linda, this has just been most excellent. And for one, I have learned a lot of information, and I trust that our broadcast listeners have also learned some new tips to help them in their job search. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Absolutely.
Well, let's turn now in our broadcast to some of these job seeker questions. Have you got some to?
Oh, absolutely. Excellent questions from the listeners. And I'll just start with one from Anita in Portland. So many people have a business and then they sell it. And then it's, what am I going to do? She said, I just sold my medical product business, which I started 25 years ago. I don't want to retire. Is there something challenging I can do which would take about 20 hours a week?
Okay. Well, how about if I take a stab at this, Linda, and then you tell me what the real answer is, okay? You know, one of the things that I like to say to people that are in a situation like this where they don't need the income, if they've had a successful business that they started, they're the primary shareholder, and hopefully they sold that business for a profit. And so now, instead of just leaning back in the rocking chair, that entrepreneur wants to continue, go, go, go. And I like the idea that the person is saying about 20 hours a week rather than saying another full-time job. That means that this person, like many entrepreneurs, has a lot of avocational things cooking and moving, and they like doing those things, and many of them could be volunteer, pro bono, charity, helping out at the Y, helping out at their church, and on and on. So I like to introduce the concept of buy yourself a job, because I don't think there's going to be somebody out there that Anita is going to hire Anita. Anita is just, you know, overqualified, and unless there was some particular expertise that Anita had that could be of a consulting nature, and if Anita is inclined to consulting, Anita would have thought about that anyway, doesn't need us to comment. So my suggestion to Anita is, you've got to find something that you really, really like to do. Don't worry about finding a vacancy. research the companies, the nonprofits, the organizations that are doing this, and then make an offer to the owner, the president, the executive director, that they can't refuse. You're buying yourself a job. Now, they're not looking for you. They're not. There is no vacancy posted. You do want to approach an organization that is growing. So that is a very important piece. Your research has to tell you this organization is growing. They're survivors. And what you're doing now is you're coming to that senior person. You're identifying something that you think is going to help them get where they want to go. And you're, in a sense, making them an offer. And because you don't need the income, the offer you're making is not viewed as a liability. You're not asking to take out of that company's net profits until you are making a contribution to the company's net profits. Then, yes, you want to be rewarded. And that's what I mean by buy yourself a job. It's not just something you wake up in the morning and bang, you go out and do, but if we're talking an entrepreneur who has successfully built a business, this is not going to be that difficult. They just have to get in their mind that they're not looking for a vacancy somewhere, and they need to see how they can be value-added to somebody who, quote, can't afford to hire them right now. In a way, they're almost like a partner. They're asking to become a partner, and when they bring in the value that they think they could bring, then they're compensated likewise. So, Linda, put your two cents in there.
Thank you, John. Luckily, I've discovered something that it's available here in Arizona, and I don't know where else it is, but it's called Experience Matters. And what they're looking for are people 55 plus, highly skilled, experienced professionals who are transitioning from their careers in the for-profit sector, who want to make a significant impact in nonprofit organizations.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing that's interesting about this. It's not just volunteer. The person typically earns a stipend, and it's a 12-month assignment. They work half-time in an embedded role in a nonprofit. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Experience Matters.
ExperienceMatters.org.com.
.org, uh-huh.
Wow, that is awesome.
It's a wonderful opportunity for people. Maybe they've had early retirement, they sold a business, what a great way to stay engaged at that professional level.
Absolutely, yes. That is a great resource. Okay, I think we've given Anita
enough
a tremendous amount here to fill her up for the next several weeks of stuff to do. Do we have another one?
We do, and this is somebody who's in a more challenging situation. This is Jim. I just filed for bankruptcy in my landscape business. It will take me about 4 years to pay off the debt. Now I need to find a new job. I'm thinking of going back to school. How do I choose a major for a good job?
Wow. Well, we've got several issues going here. Jim is probably one of those individuals that just hit the floor running, started up a business, and then got slammed by the economy and never finished out college. We'll take up Jim's situation after the break, Linda.
Great.
We're taking a short 2-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley how one can choose to find meaning and purpose in a post-retirement career as well as a new 30-something job. John, you started this discussion saying that boomers are now free to choose to pursue something fulfilling, to give back.
That's right, Evan.
And then I asked, why can't a 30-something person make that choice? And you said they could. They just had to be intentional to add that third layer of purpose rather than just the paycheck. So here's my question. Can you give us an example of someone who has done this?
Well, Evan, I recall a client who worked for the same employer for 35 years as a director of quality control and manufacturing. There was a change in management, and our client was transitioned out. As he and I began to discuss his next chapter in life, I challenged him to think about pursuing something that felt like he was making a difference, something meaningful to him.
So this was a real person?
Yes, it was a real person. Let's call him Phil. He had 1 year of community college and felt like his life wouldn't really amount to much. All he thought he could do was find a similar job and then after a few more years retire, buy a big motor home, and drive coast to coast.
I've seen a few of those.
Well, as we began to explore Phil's aptitude assessment results, he pointed to a couple of the printout options and said, "You know, I always wanted to do something for troubled kids, for teenagers."
So what happened?
A long story short, he got hired by a county government agency to administrate the placement of foster teens in good homes.
Did he have some prior experience to get that?
Not at all. We helped him plan a strategy after he met the person who had his job.
You mean he first looked at several careers you suggested, then chose this one because of the on-site validation visit?
That's right. And in his job search, he bypassed many who had four-year college degrees and even graduate school degrees. And you know, Phil had only 1 year of community college with no prior experience.
Well, I think I'm speaking for our listening audience when I say that this is a great example, and I wish we had time to find out how you helped him do it.
Yes, that's true, Evan, but then that is what these job seeker broadcasts are all about. I am sharing the same things I taught Phil, all these lessons learned, and he did it, and it worked for him.
John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Well, thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the stress of a dead-end job to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring. You will see the reference preferred counselors at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show.
Let's do it.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley, who has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. And now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
And we're back to our broadcast, and we're discussing job seeker questions that we have received, and my co-host today is Linda Baugh out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. Linda, you are just a valuable source of knowledge and experience in what has been a joy for the many times you and I have done this broadcast together is how similar you and I have found certain approaches and advice on a lot of complex things, and we never compared notes way back. It's just sort of the journey that we've come to. So here we are, and we're talking about Jim, who had to let go of his landscape business, and he's thinking about, well, now that I don't have a job, I need to, quote, go back and finish off my college degree. It's I'm sort of reading between the lines here, thinking that in order for him to have value and worth, he needs a degree. Well, I don't come from that school of thought. However, if Jim were inclined to go back to school, what he should do is choose the next job that he wants and then enroll in a two- or three-unit class, intro to communication, intro to business management, whatever the class would be that closely aligns with that new occupation, just to enroll, does not have to be a four-year program. It's just a class, probably community college. And then once enrolled, my suggestion is that Jim go out and try to get a field experience opportunity. That means instead of job hunting, he's going out hunting for hands-on experience at the company of his choice. And that is now his entree to networking in that company to get hired. So my thought is, if Jim's inclined or pretty much convinced he's going back to school, this is the way to do it. If he's already in debt for bankruptcy, then why go back into debt more by going to school, which is not going to guarantee any kind of employment at all? That's one of the greatest myths of education. You come to our campus, graduate, and boy, you're going to have a financially rewarding career. No way. College grads are a dime a dozen out there. Mm-hmm. And they spend their next 5 to 10 years paying back their school debt, unless they're focused before they graduate and they've had some work experience in the field they're in. So let me get off my soapbox. what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree. It's tough. He probably feels like he's just floating in a boat that hasn't got an oar or a paddle, just trying to figure out. But signing up for some classes just to get a taste is a great idea. And then going and talking with people in the companies that he thinks he might like to work in, at maybe even as an, if you will, an apprentice or an intern, and just proposing that to them and say, you know, I'm willing to learn. I just want to see if this is the right thing for me.
Yeah, now we have to be careful. I don't know how much experience you have in coaching clients. This is an area I put a fair amount of time into. I found that if you use the word apprentice, the apprentice word is a legal term that suggests a, quote, established program, as does the word intern or internship. And so what I've learned is that if an individual goes to an organization and says, I'm looking for an internship or an apprenticeship program, the company will say, I'm sorry, we don't have those, quote, programs here, sorry. But
what's the right language, John?
The right language that I recommend is field experience.
Ah,
I'm looking for a field experience in your customer service department or your IT department or your warehouse department and so on, so that I can complement my classroom instruction with some hands-on instruction.
Great.
I would back off of the suggestion of so I can figure out if this is really my career, because that means that the employer may be skeptical if this person has really done their homework on choosing that direction. And, if you're a college student and you do that, that's fine. They expect that. But if this person's had his business and,
field experience is the term we want. Thank you.
Yeah. And so really, I have found that you can literally choose the employer you want, and after they've had you there for 3 months, I mean, the door's wide open. And if that doesn't work out, then do another one at another company. That's my thought, if the person's inclined to go back to school. Otherwise, I think there's a lot of product and service knowledge that Jim has acquired in all these years, and he needs to focus on companies and industries that deal with landscape products
and
the wholesale.
And products.
Yeah. In the wholesale or retail field, I mean, he's probably already thought of that. He probably already has contacts because he has been buying product for his landscape. He's been buying plastic pipe, sprinkler systems. He's buying rental equipment, certain plants, and on and on and on. And there might be possibilities there. So that's, I think, you know, those are some thoughts there for Jim.
Good.
Any others?
Well, let's quickly look at Dick, who has been in sales and sales management all of his adult life. He's 63, not sure what he wants to do. His current sales position in mobile phones is really high pressure, and he says, I really would like to do something to give back, something which has value. What do you suggest?
Well, you know, when somebody has a long history of experience in one field, one occupation, what I listen for is whether they're complaining about the job is wearing me out, or I'm stressed out. I never chose the right field, but I stuck with it because I didn't know what else. But David's not saying that.
Well, he's saying it's high pressure. That's what he said.
Yeah,
high pressure. The
current position he's in mobile phones is high pressure, but maybe all of his career in sales and sales management has been productive and good. We don't know that. I'm going to just take the tack that, you know, it has been. And if he wants to give back, one of the first things I would go to is fundraising for nonprofits. So if he would pick a nonprofit that he really believes in, fundraisers that really know their stuff are worth their weight in gold, because they'll turn that profit and loss statement upside down so that that organization is in the black instead of being in the red. He won't find any trouble getting on board if he begins to canvass nonprofits saying that he has, you know, 20-plus year sales experience and now wants to devote his expertise in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, we've run out of time. We're at the end of our show. Thank you. Thank you for an excellent, excellent program today.
My pleasure, John.
So that brings to a close our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group, and he's been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. In addition to counseling mid-career men and women, John has authored 4 career advancement books. The IDAC Group has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide. And John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. He's personally selected 12 of these 600 whom he features as preferred counselors on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They are not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group, and they have not paid any fee to be featured on this broadcast nor on IDAC's website. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I encourage you to join us next week at the same time for our next live broadcast. Do you know someone who is frustrated in their job search? Why not send them a tweet, email, or Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcast by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening, best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.